Confession together, all of us out loud. Say eyes to see. Come on, say eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mouth to confess all the good things Christ has already provided for me. Well, hello, family in person. Those of you joining us online, grab your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse number 13 and 14. And then we're going to jump back to 1 Kings 19. And we'll stay there the rest of the time. 1 Kings 19. Today we're finishing our series called Overwhelmed. And if you've missed any of this series, please go back and check it out. Now next week, listen, we're launching a new series called Brushstrokes of Grace. And you may have never considered the narrative of the Gospels to be a painting, but simply pages of print chronicling the life of a man named Jesus, an ancient text without any texture. However, when the Gospels are read through the lens of grace, we see Jesus, and we see him in high definition and living color. So over the next few weeks, I want to minister directly to your heart. And studying various stories in the Gospels, you're going to see grace for the hopeless. A whole lot of people are there, hopeless. Grace for the heartbroken. Grace for the hemorrhaging. What's that all about? You'll need to be here. Grace for the horrible. Grace for the hostage. Those of us that have been in bondage a long time. Why not invite a friend to church this week for the launch of our new series, Brushstrokes of Grace? All right, it's not what I'm preaching today, but I feel like I could. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Let your heart take courage. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And everyone said at the reading of God's word, amen. Different people face different emotional battles. There's no way around it. Some people struggle with jealousy. Some people struggle with guilt. Other people wrestle with anger and rage. Some people fight with bitterness. Some people have a problem with worry and anxiety. I want to confess to you today that one of the biggest problems I face in my life and in my ministry is discouragement. And I know that I'm speaking to discouraged people right now. Some of you, if you were honest, would say you are discouraged because you can't find a job. There are some people who are discouraged because their marriage has failed or because they feel stuck in a marriage where they can't seem to do anything to get the other person to love them like they once did. Perhaps you're discouraged because of a debilitating disease or illness that doesn't seem to be getting any better. Maybe you're discouraged because you got into something that you thought absolutely had no chance of failing, but it did. Life's hard and it does not play fair. It'll smack you in the jaw when you are looking the other way. It'll knock you down. It'll kick you while you're down. We've talked about it for weeks now. You can get overwhelmed. You can get overwhelmed with guilt. You can get overwhelmed with stress. You can get overwhelmed with bitterness. You can certainly get overwhelmed with discouragement. Today, I'm not talking about depression. There's a difference between being depressed and being discouraged. One doctor put it this way. Depression is a pathological state. If it's bad enough, physicians can treat it. Discouragement is a moral state, a failure of the heart. You treat it by taking courage, not Prozac. A good definition of discouragement is found in the word itself. It's to be discouraged. Remember, dis is a prefix added to the beginning of base words. And what does it mean? It means not or opposite of. So discouragement, not encouragement, discouragement is the complete absence of courage in a challenging situation. And if any of the following are true about you right now, you may be suffering from discouragement. Disheartened by obstacles, failure, or criticism. Distressed, lacking courage and confidence. Disillusioned, losing hope. Hope, I'm going to deal with that this month. Hope, losing hope for the future. Disinterested, completely apathetic, with no initiative. Doubtful about certain actions you've taken. Down on yourself right now with a sense of low worth. There is no doubt about it, church. Discouragement can easily sink into depression. And when you are discouraged, you lose heart. When you are depressed, you lose hope. And if you're discouraged today, I want you to know, church, you are not alone. Some of the greatest men and women in the Bible battled discouragement. In fact, we're going to study one today. He was the famous prophet Elijah. One of the most amazing things about this story is he was discouraged when he really should not have been. Let me give you his story in a nutshell. He just achieved one of the greatest single-handed victories in history. He'd gone toe-to-toe. Are you ready for this? With 250 false prophets of the pagan god Baal, and he defeated every one of them in a spiritual contest. Before that, he prophesied a nationwide drought that would affect the entire land, and it happened just as he said. And not only did his prayers cause God to stop the rain, but also he prayed, God moved, and it started to rain again. Before that, he had done something that was both impossible and unthinkable. He'd literally raised the son of a widow from the dead. He was at the absolute peak of his power, the absolute peak of his popularity. Yet he was at the bottom of the barrel of discouragement. Why? Because of one angry woman. The most infamous woman in history. You've probably been hearing about this woman all week on social media. Her name was Jezebel. Whole lot of talk about the spirit of Jezebel. But she wasn't happy with what had happened to her prophets, and she certainly wasn't happy with Elijah's revival that was going on in the nation. So we pick up the story in 1 Kings 19, verse number 1. Ahab told Jezebel, that was his wife. So Ahab's telling Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, boy, how'd you like to get an email like this? So may the gods, how'd you like to get a text like this? So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Jezebel had put a contract out on this prophet's life, and all of a sudden he forgot, watch this, he forgot all about the promises of God, and he went from the mountaintop of victory to the valley of discouragement. But he came through it. I sense this by the Spirit of God today. Those of you that have been battling discouragement, the Lord says, you will come through it. How do you deal with discouragement? The notes are available on the Calvary app as always. Number one, I would say this. I want to give you some truth today, and then I want to speak over you the word of the Lord. Number one, you got to realize it. Listen, whenever you're dealing with any type of emotional issue, the first thing you got to do is own up to the fact that you are dealing with it. Honesty, I really believe, is the best policy. You need to be honest with yourself. You got to be willing to admit that you are in the emotional dumps. What you don't reveal, you cannot heal. So Elijah was honest enough to admit that he was so defeated, he was so discouraged, that he even said this in verse number 4. Did you see it? It's enough. It's enough. It's enough, Lord. Take away my life. I'm no better than my fathers. Let me tell you, discouragement will make you think like a failure, talk like a failure, and act like a failure. And that reminds you again, some of the greatest, godliest people in the Bible battled discouragement. Moses got discouraged when he was leading the people. Elijah was discouraged because of this woman, Jezebel, that wanted to kill him. Job got discouraged because of all of his suffering. Even Jesus was so discouraged of all of his suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane that he prayed, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Let me tell you, good people, godly people, great people, they get discouraged. Kings and ministers and presidents and pastors and CEOs, and they get discouraged. I get discouraged. You get discouraged. We all get discouraged. So first of all, realize you're discouraged and don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to admit it. I'm discouraged. But hear me, church, don't stay there. You've got to move on to number two. Reason it. Reason it. One of the best things you can do when you're discouraged is to force yourself to turn off all the noise. Sit down with Jesus. Take his word. Some of you, that may mean get a journal. Why? Because you need to analyze why you're discouraged. Think of everything that could be causing your discouragement. Oftentimes, I'll tell you, when you do this, you'll realize that the reason you're discouraged is really not a reason to be discouraged at all. And one of the things we see in Elijah's life is that he was discouraged after having just come off one of his great feats. I mean, he achieved an unbelievable victory. His approval ratings were skyrocketing, yet he is discouraged. He was a trending topic, yet he was discouraged. Have you ever noticed, church, that sometimes you'll get discouraged not just when things are going poorly, but when things in your life are going well? And it's good to identify what is causing discouragement. And then, why do I say look at it? Because you've got to begin to put it into proper perspective. I don't know, maybe you're discouraged because of your vocational situation right now. You can't find a job. Put it in perspective. Hello, it does not mean you are never going to find a job. Maybe you're discouraged because, again, of a relational situation. You aren't sure that your marriage is going to work out. Well, put it in proper perspective. It doesn't mean that it won't work out or that it can't work out. And I would even say this, even if, despite your best efforts, it doesn't work out, can I let you know, God isn't finished with you. Now, Elijah, I thought this was interesting, and I want to speak prophetically over some of you right now, because you came here today and you said, God, I've got to hear from you today. This is it. You better hear me. Elijah did two things you should never do when you get discouraged. In fact, if you do these two things, you just make your discouragement worse. And most likely, I'll tell you, it will turn your discouragement into depression. So these are not just points that I'm giving you today. I am speaking to you prophetically right now. As a matter of fact, lift up one or both of your hands in the name of Jesus. May you hear the Spirit of God today, and may you sense the strength of God operating on the inside of you in Jesus' name. The Spirit of the Lord says, don't give in and don't give up in Jesus' name. Don't give in and don't give up. And if I have a church that believes it, clap your hands and give God, come on, give him a good praise today. Wake up. Don't give in. Don't give in. Don't give up. Write that down. Don't give in. That's what Elijah did. Look at verse 3. Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Elijah gave in to the first thing that discouragement will bring you. What is that? Did you read it? Fear. Fear. And fear brings torment. And there are a whole lot of people tormented right now because of fear. Discouragement drains all the courage out of you. So instead of being full of faith, you're full of fear. Instead of you every day expecting good things, that's hope. Confidently expecting good things, you imagine the worst case scenario. Then what do? You run and you hide. And the cardinal sin people commit when they get discouraged is they go into a shell and they isolate themselves, and they're afraid to face up to the fact that they're discouraged. And sometimes, for example, there may be a physical cause for discouragement. And one of the things I didn't tell you here was that Elijah, he was physically worn out. He had just come off of a long fast. He had run 18 miles to deliver the good news of the victory over those prophets. He hadn't had anything to eat. His strength was gone. Are y'all getting the picture? He was thirsty. He was physically exhausted. How ironic it was that Elijah, think about this, he could stand up against 450 prophets, but he could not stand up against Jezebel. And the point is, you will never ever, I told you I need to speak over you today, you will never ever, never ever, never ever ever, never never ever, never ever, never win the battle of discouragement if you cut and run. Can I tell you, church, I've never heard of a military victory ever won by retreating. And it doesn't mean there aren't times to retreat, but if you retreat, you cannot win. So first of all, don't you give in. Don't give in. Then what did I say? Don't give up. Listen to what happened next. Look at verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, it's enough now. There it is again. It's enough, Lord. Take my life. He was so discouraged. Some of you are here today. He felt like dying. Dying would be better than living. Has anybody ever been there before? If so, you need to hear me today. And I sense the Spirit of God on it. You cannot give up in the face of discouragement. Lift up your hands. You cannot give up in the face of discouragement. Don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on faith. Don't you give up on your call. Don't you give up on your anointing. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't give up on your church. Don't give up on the good things that God has for you. Don't give up on the word of the Lord over your life. And if I have a church that believes it, give God the best hand clap of praise you've given all day long. Come on, give him praise like you really believe it. Don't do it. That's a good place for me to remind you of something. God is in the encouraging business. Satan is in the discouraging business. And interestingly enough, watch this. The Greek word for the Holy Spirit is a word that means, you ready for this? Called alongside to help and encourage. He's called the encourager. I don't think there's a greater weapon in Satan's arsenal than discouragement. So get to the root of the problem of why you're discouraged, and then take this next move to overcome your discouragement. I really want to stay here and minister to you today. With the Spirit's help, you're going to have to remedy it. Take courage. This is how we remedy it. Take courage. It doesn't say sit around and wait. It says you take it. take it. Let your heart take it. Wait on the Lord, but you take courage. Take courage. There is nothing wrong with being discouraged, but there is something wrong with staying discouraged. You know one of the reasons why the Bible was written? Boy, think about this. The Apostle Paul said in Romans, I believe, 15:4, he said, "For whatever was written in former days," what are we studying today? What was written in former days? 1 Kings. "Whatever was written in former days is for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement," courage, encouragement, not discouragement, "encouragement of the scriptures, we might have" what? Talk to me, church, have what? "A confident expectation of good things." And God has given us his written word for what? The written word points to the living word, Jesus, who is called our living hope and our great encourager. And believe it or not, even this story that we're studying in 1 Kings 19 was written for our encouragement. I know there's a picture there of the old and the new with Elijah and Elisha, and we see Jesus and all of this. But there are some practical things that I believe you can do. Take courage. You can do it by faith, just like Elijah did to overcome discouragement. You don't have to let it be the tail that wags the dog in your life. You can literally act your way by faith into feeling encouraged, which I'll tell you this is a whole lot easier than trying to feel your way into acting encouraged. So let me show you some things that Elijah did quickly. And this is the way I believe you take it. Take courage. Take courage. Let your heart take courage. Boy, you're going to have to regularly, I would say like this, you're going to have to lie down, you're going to have to look up, you're going to have to listen, 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 listen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing, listen, listen. Lie down, look up, listen. Lie down, look up, listen. Lie down, write that down, lie down. Look at the next verse, look at this. And he lay down, he slept, he slept, he slept, he slept, and he ate. Look at that, look at that. He ate a good cake. Look at that, do you see that? 5 and 6, he ate a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. Y'all, I'm getting hungry right now thinking about it. A cake baked, come on. Oh my goodness. A cake baked on hot stone and a jar of water. You know, discouragement will usually do two things. Isn't this interesting? It'll rob you of your appetite and it will rob you of your sleep. The first thing Elijah did was what? Boy, some of you want something. Give me something real spiritual to do. Okay, for some of you, the greatest thing you could do, take a nap. And for some of you, eat a meal. A healthy meal. Eat a meal. I can tell you from experience, baggy eyes and an empty stomach won't help you overcome discouragement. But it doesn't stop there. It says, look up, look up, look up. Write it down. When you're discouraged, you will tend to focus more and more on your discouragement. I know about that. And that's usually when you get into that death spiral. Wow. That just leads you to a crash. You crash into depression. You sink into the quicksand of despair. And that's what Elijah did. Look at verse 4. I have had enough, Lord. Look at that. Take my life. I'm no better than my father's. Elijah, what had happened? He had completely, because of the word Jezebel gave, he had completely forgotten about the promises of God. And he threw the one party that no one ever comes to except yourself. And y'all know what that party is? Come on, somebody. It's called a pity party. And God doesn't do pity parties. You'll never solve any problem you have in your life by constantly looking down. That's why I tell you, lift up your head, believer, lift up your head, lift up your head, look up, look up, look up. We understand the internal world, the kingdom of God, setting your eyes on these things. What's life? What's true? What's peace? Set your eyes on good things, things that are worthy of praise. But look up, move your eyes from below the line in the realm of senses. So many of us, that's where our eyes are fixed, the realm of senses, what we see, what we hear, what we feel. Lift your eyes, get them in the realm of faith, what God already knows to be true about you. Get your eyes out of the temporary and get them into the eternal. Get your eyes off of yourself. Watch this. And get your eyes onto Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of goodness. Now, what happens next changed everything. Look at verse 8. And he arose and he ate and drank. Boy, this is supernatural. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to the Mount of God. Elijah is directed by the Holy Spirit to go to the Mount of God. The Mount of God was where God was waiting to meet with Elijah. Church, when you go to the Mount of God, that place of intimacy, and you meet with the God of the mountain, there is only one direction you can look, and that is up. To overcome your discouragement, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you've got to look up, look at him, because when you're looking at no one but him, nothing else but him, that is when you can finally put everything else below the line in the realm of senses into proper perspective. Because for a whole lot of us, what we're looking at right now, it's big and our God has become small. But isn't it interesting, we're told in scripture, oh, magnify the Lord. Y'all know you can't make God any bigger than he already is. But it says you magnify. What does that mean? You don't make him any bigger than he already is. But when you magnify something, it becomes bigger to you. Oh, magnify the Lord. But then I would say, listen hard. This is how faith comes. My goodness, so many of us are drowning in everything we're hearing. We've decided to set our ears on everything going on around us. I'm telling you, this is all we hear. 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 But you better listen. There's another voice, and you go on and you look at verse 11, and he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore through the mountain. Look at all the noise. There's a whole lot of noise in the world. There's a whole lot of noise, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in that wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, a lot of noise, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after that fire, the sound of a low whisper, a whisper. You know what I've learned over the years? Somebody hear me. God often waits to speak until you have quieted yourself. You quit looking down. You start looking up. You want to overcome your discouragement? Quit thinking about yourself and start thinking, meditating on, setting your mind on what's true about you in Christ, God thoughts. And it's when you are in the valley of discouragement that God speaks the loudest and you can hear him the best. Disappointment. Disappointment. You know what I've realized? Is often his appointment. Yes, sometimes God allows you to go into the valley of discouragement, not to discourage you, but to encourage you to look away from whatever is causing your discouragement and look to an all-powerful, almighty Father who can give you encouragement. In fact, he wants to be your courage in the face of whatever you are facing right now in Jesus' name. Can I tell you some of the greatest ways to do that is to get into God's word and to get around God's people. Isn't that interesting? There's an all-out attack on both. An all-out attack on both. God's word and God's church. You cannot hear God and you'll not listen to God until he speaks to you. And God speaks the loudest through his word and his spirit through his people. And this is so important. Never let your problems, somebody hear me today, do not allow your problems to outweigh God's promises. Do not allow your problems to outweigh God's promises. No matter what you are discouraged about, no matter how much you think you have reason to be discouraged, can I tell you, God's already promised. As a matter of fact, there's an anointing here today. Lift up your hands and hold them up high in Jesus' name. Here's the promise, and I declare it over you now, and it's this: he will work everything out for your good and for his glory. He will work everything out for your good and for his glory. He will work for good everything out. Everything thing out for your good and for His glory. And if I have a church that believes it, clap your hands and give God, come on, the best praise you've given Him today. Come on. Somebody holler, thank you, Jesus. You see, here's the truth. Your discouragement right now is actually an opportunity to experience God's encouragement. It's when I'm weak, then I'm strong. But we live in a culture that you better be strong. You better be strong. You better be strong. And the word says, it's in my weakness that I find out about His strength. And someone put it this way, mountaintops are for views and inspiration, but fruit is grown in the valley. And it's easy to forget when you reach the mountaintop of victory, but you are reminded now of your need for God when you are in the valley. Some of you right now of discouragement. Some of you the valley of disappointment. Some of you the valley of disillusionment. Some of you the valley of defeat. But the Spirit of the Lord says today, lift up your hands. Let your heart take courage today. Let your heart take courage. My goodness, there's an anointing. I minister to you today by the Spirit of God. Let your heart take courage. Let your heart take courage. What is our theme verse say in Psalm 27? Lets us know what courage must be. Take it. Let your heart take it. You wait on Him, but you take courage. Take it. We must take hold. Take hold. It's a promise. Take hold of the promise that's been given to you by God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Church, if you can, lower floor, upper tier, stand up. There's an anointing. I'm just going a different direction right now. Father, I know without doubt there are people, lift up your hands, under the sound of my voice, lift up your head. I'm closing this series out today. There are people under the sound of my voice overwhelmed with discouragement, overwhelmed with disappointment, overwhelmed with disillusionment, overwhelmed with defeat. Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they are going to dig deep for that bold as a lion grit on the inside of them. And today, their hearts are taking courage. Their hearts are taking courage. In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to do something today. I'm going to use God's word as I close this series out. His promises, some very specific ones that He's laid on my heart this week. And I am going to make some confessions over the church, over those of you who would be honest and say, you have been discouraged. But if you're ready and believe that it'll turn your life and resolve around, if I'm talking to you today, I sense by the Spirit of God, this is your moment. And you're ready to take courage. If you say today, that's me, I'm ready to take courage in the Lord. I'm ready to take courage in the Lord. In the name of Jesus, when I count to three, hold your hand up high. There's an anointing. I want to declare some things over you. Don't you wait. Even by you throwing up your hand, you're saying, I'm taking what's mine in Jesus' name. One, two, three. Hold it up now if that's you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For the next 30 seconds, everybody in this house, lower floor, upper tier, lift up your hands, open up your mouth. I didn't say clap your hands. Lift up your hands, open up your mouth, and just begin to bless Him right now. There's an anointing. We worship you. Get your eyes out of this realm of senses. What you see and what you feel and everything you've been hearing in the natural realm. Set your eyes above the line, the realm of faith. In Jesus' name, begin to thank Him right now. Hallelujah. Now I declare in the name of Jesus, those of you with uplifted hand, I'm going to declare these things over you today. There's an anointing, Philippians 4. No matter how bad things seem, no matter how long your struggle has gone on, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You don't have to hold on by your own strength. You don't have to hold on by your own strength. You don't have to hold on by your own strength. You don't have to work up the strength and try to hold on. He has given you all the strength you need in Christ Jesus. On the count of three, shout, I take courage. One, two, three. Shout right now and give God praise all over this place. Come on. I'm gonna try again. Joshua 11. I'm not just quoting this stuff. I'm declaring it over you. Let your heart take courage. Lift up your hands in the name of Jesus. Joshua 11. You are expecting great victories. There has been no expectation, but in the name of Jesus, you will begin to expect great victories. And the Spirit of the Lord says you will expect great victories even in the face of great impossibilities. In the name of Jesus, when I count to three, holler out, I take courage, and then give God the best praise you've given Him. One, two, three. Shout now and give God praise all over this place. Is that all you got? Say, I take courage. Some of you are so beat down, you can't even lift your head and open up your mouth. Jeremiah 29, lift your hands. The Spirit of the Lord says you will not be defeated. You will not be defeated. And you won't give in and you won't give up. Devil, you think you've won, but you have not. And I declare, believer, you are more than a conqueror. You will see the victory. His plans are good and not evil to give you a future and a hope. When I count to three, say, I take courage, and then give Him praise. One, two, three. Go! Try it again. One, two, three. Shout now. Go. Not there yet. 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 2 Corinthians 2:14. Lift your hands. God always causes you to triumph. That means every situation, every situation, you will prevail in every situation, in this situation, and in situations that come. You are expecting a breakthrough, and you will wait as long as it takes. You won't give in. You won't give up. You will trust God. And if God is for you, 2 Corinthians 2, who? And if God is for you, and He is, who can possibly be against you? When I count to three, say, I take courage and give God praise. One, two, three. Go now. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go.
I'm
Isaiah 40, 29, 31. It's the last one I'm going to speak over you today. Listen, you let these truths permeate your spirit. Commit to God's word. Commit to the people of resolve. Now I'm talking to myself. Resolve to speak victory over every situation from this day forward. Have you ever listened to yourself? Listen for the direction of the Holy Spirit, because He'll lead you. The Bible says He'll guide you to the place where you can reclaim everything that has been stolen. Everything that has been stolen. He is the God of restoration. He is the God of restoration. He is your hope. He is your encourager. In the name of Jesus, let your heart take courage. Let your heart take courage. Let your heart take courage. All right. Can you stand one more? Lift up your hands. Isaiah 40. When you are tired and the trials of life seem to overwhelm you, you will take your strength in the Lord and His promises for you. And now in the name of Jesus, I declare that God gives power to you when you are faint and weary. And in your weakness, He increases strength in you. You wait for Him and He renews your strength and your power. And the Spirit of the Lord says, you will lift up with wings of strength and you will rise as an eagle. And you will run and you will not be weary. And you shall walk and not faint or become tired. And I thank you right now for increased strength. Receive now in Jesus' name. Increased strength. Your hope is in Him. And He continually renews your strength and your power. You will run. You will run your course. You will run your course. You will run your course. And you will not grow weary in well-doing. And you will walk and not become faint or tired. And you have all the strength you need to accomplish all that God has called you to do. It shall be done, says the Spirit of the Lord. It shall be done, says the Spirit of the Lord. It shall be done, says the Spirit of the Lord. When I count to three, say, I take courage and give God the best praise you've given Him. One, two, three. Go now. Come on, go, 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 go. Say it. Lift up your hands, say it. Let your heart take it. Come on up for tears. I take courage. Prophesy. I take courage. Come on, say it from the inside. I take courage. Let that be your declaration of faith today. I take courage. Now I want to hear just the ladies. Go. I can't hear you, ladies. Say it. Ladies, come on, say it.
I take courage.
Now I want to hear the men holler it out. Go.
I take courage. I take courage.
Come on, say it like a man.
Take courage. I take courage.
Come on, men.
I take courage.
One more time, man, say it.
I take courage.
Are you ready? Everybody.
I take courage.
Three more times.
I take courage. I take courage.
This is it.
I take courage.
Now shout right now and give Him praise. Excuse me, this week, and we will face some things, what are you going to say to yourself? What? What are you going to remind yourself? What are you going to remind one another? You didn't know you were a prophet today, but tell two people, one on your right and left, say, go ahead, take courage. Tell them, just tell them. I didn't say touch them, just tell them. Now tell the person in front of you and behind you, tell them, come on, church, be the church. Say, take courage. Tell me, Derek. Pastor Derek, tell me. Come tell me. This is what the church does. What? Huh? Take courage. Jacob, come tell me. Come tell me.
Anímate, Pastor Ben. Take courage. Let's go. Anímate, Pastor Ben.
That sounds better. Say it again.
Anímate, Pastor Ben. Take courage.
Take courage. Kim, nobody's told me more than you. Take courage.
Take courage.
Take courage.
Take courage. In Jesus' name.
Take courage. Lift up your hands. There's an anointing in here right now. Take courage.
Today, for the family that they represent, I thank you, Lord, for the courage that they're taking for the week. I thank you, Lord, as they walk through challenges, you order their steps, you don't leave them, you don't abandon them, you're walking right alongside. I thank you, Lord, that they have every single tool that they need as they walk through their week. I thank you, Lord. They are victorious. They are full of strength. You give them clarity of thought. You give them a sound mind. They are overcomers. I thank you, Lord. They are full of courage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Church, I love you. Wednesday night is our third night of Wednesday groups and worship. Don't miss that. I love you. Have a great week. Take courage. Walk in victory. I'll see you right back here at Calvary. And as you go, tell about five people. Come on, take courage. Take courage. Take courage. Come on, tell them.
At Calvary, we believe that your generosity can transform lives. In today's digital era, giving online has become a favorite way for many people to practice generosity. It offers a safe and secure platform where individuals can contribute to Calvary Church and support the mission with ease. That's why we offer three convenient ways to give online: through our website, our mobile app, and via text message. If you prefer giving through our website, simply visit calvarychurch.cc and click on the giving section in the menu bar. From there, you can select your desired location, just like you saw in the live stream featuring our Irving location. Our website provides a user-friendly interface that makes the giving process smooth and hassle-free. For those who prefer giving on the go, our Calvary Church CC app is the perfect solution. Download it from your app store, tap on the Give button, and choose whether you want to give online or at a specific location. Our app provides a convenient platform that allows you to contribute securely right from your mobile device. If you're looking for a quick and straightforward method, our text to give option is ideal. Simply send a text message with the word Calvary IRV followed by the amount you want to give to 833-245-6183. It's as simple as that. This method is great for busy individuals who are always on the move and want to make a donation without an extra step or browsing. We want you to feel confident in giving online, which is why we prioritize safety and security. Calvary Church takes necessary precautions to protect your personal and financial information. We also encourage you to consider setting up recurring giving. This allows you to make regular automatic contributions, which not only provide convenience for you, but also helps us plan for the future. With your ongoing support, we can continue our mission of declaring and demonstrating the gospel in a consistent and impactful way.